Welcome to Dial In for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're trying to keep track of the Riverdale parents' lies in Manhunter. I'm your host, AV Club Senior Editor Mara Egan, and I'm joined, as always, by Cameron Sheets.
Hey.
Cameron, hi.
What's happening to the parents?
They're all lying.
I'm really upset.
Like, we'll get into this, but right. Like, I have a theory about who it is,
question mark? Ooh, I have a theory too. I can't wait to get to the booth later.
But right now, let's do our ice puncher,
which
is where how we punch open the ice and open each week's episode.
I love the pun.
Since we just celebrated Thanksgiving, I am curious, what part of Riverdale season 3 are you most thankful for so far?
I think, and I didn't have the words for this until a week ago when we talked to Sherry Chung, but I'm thankful for Swamp Goth.
You were super into that.
I love that as a term. I love the mood of it. I totally get it. Like, I really like the Gargoyle King.
Is that going to be your winter aesthetic?
It definitely is, as I've been mentioning. Yeah. I mean, just like twigs and just black cloth.
Like big sweaters and like, yeah.
Fringe. I mean, I do want a big, like, Veronica cape big time. I don't think I can really pull it off, but... So
I own several and I never wear them because I put them on and I'm like,
No, I have it's not a Snuggie. It's a Slanket, which is kind of the same thing, but just not as chic. So I don't think I can wear that out in public.
I am most thankful for, I think just like, I feel like the show is like embracing how campy it is more this season in a way that's like kind of funny. I don't know. Like, it's not trying to be as, like, serious in a way that I enjoy. Let's put it that way.
I definitely agree with you. Because, I mean, we always bring up the mobster plot line, but, like, that was so dour to the... Except for Papa Poutine.
Yeah,
it was, like, the one time
when
they, like, went all in on the gangster
home. Like, making his bones, that stuff. Like, and now it's just like, oh, there's a swamp monster.
Bones are being made weekly these days.
Speaking of bones, Archie is wanted.
Yeah. I mean... That's...
And he's having sex with Veronica. First of all, he is like, okay, so that's where I was going with the bones. And
I couldn't figure out
like a slick way.
I picked that up, but.
But like, he's like hallucinating basically. Like he has a fever because he has an infected cut. His brand, of course, is not infected. It's totally fine.
Right.
And like somehow he's like, he can't move, but he's still having sex with Veronica. Anyways, she's doing all the work is the long and short of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but I don't know, man. Archie's on the run.
Mm-hmm. And I mean...
And not even trying, really. He's like in the hospital with like a hat on. I'm like,
yeah,
you can't go
he's
in,
barely
dude.
In disguise. I was thinking about that too. I was like, there's no way. I mean, his hair is so distinctly red. How are people not finding him? I mean, at the beginning, he's still hiding out in the bunker. Jughead had just run into the Gargoyle King. Mm-hmm. So that was like a lot of what we got in the teaser where we're like, oh, he's going to see him. But it's really just like...
I was pleased that Jughead didn't go like off the deep end when he saw the Gargoyle King.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I saw him and I think it's crazy. Like,
and there's like disciples.
And he wasn't like going nuts.
Yeah. I mean, on that note though, I do think that Jughead pretty quickly seems to have dropped not entirely.
He does tell his dad he just needs to ascend.
Yeah.
And like, I don't understand what ascend means besides die.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, because we've not seen it in any instance where somebody, I mean, maybe that's on purpose, but. Mm-hmm. So that kind of happens in the bunker. Bughead runs off on their separate paths for the episode. And then Varchi has their little moment. And I wanted to play the soundbite because there's just a Veronica-ism that I really like in it.
I may know where the Shadow Lake boys are. The warden said he thought they were camping in the abandoned mines. I just need to get there.
No, Archie, I don't think you understand. Outside this bunker, there is a manhunt going on. Roadblocks, checkpoints, wanted posters with your strong jawline all over town.
I need to find those witnesses. The warden said all three guys were paid off. They're the only ones who can clear my name so I can stop running.
Paid off by my father, no doubt.
When I heard this, I knew that you would like this.
It's really, I don't know. It's between this and the moment where she's like, I'd know those abs anywhere. Like, she's really just whittling him down to the...
But they're endgame.
The form. They are endgame. She's in love, definitely.
Is she? Yeah.
But, I mean, as we suspected, like, Archie is like, now I know where these guys are. Cassidy's dudes are. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go after them and exonerate myself. I don't know what he thought he was going to do if he did see them, though.
I assume that he thought he could, like, convince them by, like, sheer goodwill. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, Archie's, mm-hmm. like, goodness.
That's true.
It's just like, guys, you lied, though. And now yeah. I'm hurt. I'm on the run.
He gives a speech about high school football, yeah. and they drop their knives, and they're like, slow clap moment yeah, in the
like,
cave.
We'll do it. Like, not like they didn't need witness protection or anything.
Right. But, yeah, that kind of sets him off on his mission for the episode. Veronica mentions she's got all these files she wants to dig through. That sets her off on her thing. Meanwhile, the town is cracking down. Minetta's at school trying to scare the shit out of everybody.
And he does.
And it definitely works.
Yeah. Josie, also a horrible liar.
Oh, yeah. She's, like, trembling, like, sweat on her lip before.
I was in the music room alone. It's like, mm-hmm. Josie.
Yeah. Everyone else was, like, Reggie was really good at it.
Yeah,
the browser course. History thing was really dumb, but, like,
he gets funny Reggie. Lines.
Mm-hmm. I love Reggie for it.
I think we love that guy. I think we mm-hmm. love Charles Melton.
Yeah, that's he and Cheryl's only moment in that episode, and Josie's for that matter. And we get Evelyn being like, which I thought was such a funny moment, Evelyn being like, I don't even know who Archie is, which is like, oh, yeah, you haven't interacted with him at all. He's been in prison since you've lived in Riverdale.
Yeah.
Which was, I always like the moment kind of acknowledging that sort of thing. The show acknowledging that sort of thing.
Josie has a seizure, though.
Yes, she does.
So that kind of leads to the next scene where they're like, you know, Josie, Ethel, and Betty have all had seizures.
Yeah.
And, like, what's the through line there? And then they kind of just let that drop,
yeah,
by the way.
But it's definitely Evelyn. She's there and, like, not plussed by what's happening at all.
But, like, how can she, is she just, like, mind forcing someone to have a seizure?
That's what I don't know. Yeah. Unless there's something we're not seeing. But
yeah. She, like, have a tiny syringe, you know, and she's, like, runs into the hall before class or something.
I really like her, though. We don't get enough of her.
The actress is good. Mm-hmm. I look forward to, I think what's going to happen is, like, maybe this Gargoyle King thing's going to shake out, and mm-hmm. then we're going to get more into the farm stuff.
I think you're probably right. Yeah, definitely. The one thing they do find after that, when Bughead is having that conversation, is that the warden was in the ROTC.
Yeah, well, he's dead, too.
And he's also dead. Yeah, Alice did tell them that. That mm-hmm. was, in theory, I guess that was in the paper, so everyone in town knew. Mm-hmm. But then they're like, okay, what's his connection? Of course he went to the school.
Yeah.
That's kind of...
It's a small town.
Mm-hmm, of course. That's an interesting detail that, like, kind of gets brought up a few times, but doesn't really go anywhere necessarily. Like, ROTC, like, Tom Keller was in.
Yeah.
And he mentions that he, like, confiscated a book at one point, but mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, that's it.
I know. I think they're doing this thing again like they did with the Black Hood where they're kind of setting up, like, everyone as a suspect.
They definitely have been.
You know, yeah. Where it's like, but Penelope has, you know, herbs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she was with Dilton Doiley's dad, you know, all this craziness. And so they're kind of making everyone a suspect. And also, to everyone's, like, in with the Black Hood, like, everyone could sort of be like, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
But with this, everyone's doing a horrible job at, like, brushing it off. Like, everyone's right. like, well, I was covering for this person, yeah, you know? So you're like, yeah, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, really, Betty's in full-on investigation mode, and it starts off by calling all these parents into this meeting. And then that sends her on this wild goose chase, which leads her back to where she started it. With her mom, basically. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's interesting to get all the parents together again. I don't know why it had to be at the speakeasy, but I love that set, so I was happy.
Yeah, I think that maybe is why, like, well, we have four sets, so yeah. It's not going to be the caves. It's not going to be the high school classroom, you know?
Right.
I love that set, yeah. And it was interesting to see Reggie's dad mm-hmm. again. We talked about this before. Like, we met Reggie's mom.
I'm positive he's shown his face, but I don't know if he's ever spoken a line.
Well, he had one this time.
Yeah, but he also doesn't look as much of, like, an alpha male jock dad as you'd think he would.
No.
He looks kind of cold. I don't know. Yeah, he's cute, but he's also a bad man. And Betty kind of calls him out on it for beating his son. She's like, lying, which she's really good at calling people out in this episode.
Yeah. Roberto actually posted an Instagram where he was like, how is it possible that Lily, I don't know if he says Lily or Betty, I think Lily, gets, like, better at acting and, like, more beautiful every episode, which I do agree. Like, I think she looks stunning this episode.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just, like, the makeup, or they're making her, like, more grown-up looking, or...
Not to jump whatever. Ahead too much, but her hair looks amazing in the Sisters of Quiet Mercy home. Like,
well, I'm like, and that serpent's jacket fits her like a glove.
Yeah, she looks amazing in that too. You're right. I wanted to play a soundbite from this scene because I really like Hiram being like a full-on dick to everybody. So let's hear that.
Mr. Lodge, you had business dealings with Warden Norton until he died. What were they? And did you know that he was playing G&G?
None of your business. And not a clue.
And what about Ascension Knight? Was he there?
How are we supposed to answer that? We were all high off our gourds, hallucinating gargoyles.
Wait, FP, you saw it too?
Oh, this is such a waste of our time. And I actually have a job that I need to get back to. So if you'll excuse me.
I don't know. Like, and I actually have a job to get back to. It's like such a burn. I mean, yeah, it is like, what are some of these parents actually doing with their lives?
Well, I think they all have jobs, yeah. Arguably.
But like Sierra McCoy is an attorney now, but only for like teens when they need her, I think.
She probably does like wills and stuff, like divorces. Yeah. Does Alice still run the paper? Question mark.
I have no clue. I have no idea.
Like, she never goes to work. But I think the interesting part here is like, wait, FP, you saw it too?
Yeah, for sure.
So like, that was a real thing that multiple people saw. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Alice hallucinating it.
Right. And then of course it's, I mean, we mentioned him by name, but Dilton's dad, Daryl Doily, was apparently obsessed with Penelope, and he was the one that put the poison in the cup.
I mean, but here's the thing. Was he? Like, we're just taking Penelope's word for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what? These parents are just like throwing things out there, but I don't believe any of it. I think Fred's the only good one left.
I mean, like, Penelope, I gotta say, like, you can't believe anything.
Oh, sure. She is as devious as they come.
Yeah.
I like her look in this episode.
It's like a big episode for her. Mm-hmm, I can't remember the actress's name. Do you know it off the top of your head?
It is a name, and it's, I read it. It was in the credits. I remember it seeing it on the bottom in the credits, and I was like, Natalie Bolt.
Yeah, Natalie Bolton. There you go.
We like her.
Natalie Bolt.
Yeah.
Bolt. Yeah. She has a big episode this episode. It's good for her.
Yeah, she gets a few fun scenes. But yeah, that sends Betty off on her wild goose chase. We mentioned earlier, Veronica knows there's this evidence file for Archie's case, so she goes digging through it. And
also, it's one of those things where it's like, nope, there's only one copy of it.
Yeah, of course.
Like, and Archie's mom somehow had it. Like, she goes digging for it. She finds, very clearly edited footage.
Definitely.
Where it's like, has anyone ever watched this? Because if they had, they would have noticed.
Yeah, I mean, I think I took that as like, whoever did watch it also was like kind of brushing it off. Like, well, if this is what Hiram, I don't know. If this is what Hiram wants.
I guess Archie's mom and Josie's Mayor McCoy, ex-Mayor McCoy, never watched it.
Oh, duh. I forgot that they would have had to have seen it too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe they didn't watch it.
They just weren't paying attention.
They weren't very good lawyers. You get what you pay for.
But I think Hiram, I mean, he walks in as she's snooping and she like realizes that it's been edited and he doesn't necessarily catch her, but it seems to like inspire him to
send Minetta to murder those guys.
Take care of the variables.
Take care of the variables. That being said, like, I don't know if you want to jump ahead to this.
Oh.
But you see basically Kevin and Archie being like, oh my God, there's Sheriff Benetta. And they seem to be, I don't know, 10 feet behind him.
Yeah.
And somehow he beats them and kills the guys and they don't even catch him doing it.
Yeah. It seems like it's going to be an issue that he's there at the same time, but it's really not.
No. They get there and they're like, oh, they're dead. Mm-hmm. They're cold.
Yeah. And so, one, they've apparently just been living in these cold, dark mines for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Or multiple
go
weeks.
Go anywhere else.
Yeah. And I mean, there's all the markings everywhere.
Yeah.
So what's the connection with them and the mines in the Gargoyle King? And then
something's up.
Yeah, something is up for sure. Anyway.
Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
And we'll come back and talk Joaquin.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are back and we are ready to talk Joaquin. Not Joaquin Phoenix, because that those Joker photos look bleak. But,
oh my God, yeah.
But Joaquin, no last name,
oh,
from Riverdale.
Yeah, we didn't have the last name. All we know is he has two very intense eyeballs.
No, he's lovely. Mm-hmm. He's like kind of Jordan Catalano-ish.
Yeah, he definitely is. He definitely is.
Or, oh my God, what's Jordan Catalano's friend's name? Am I Still Got Life?
Oh man, it's been too long.
It's like PJ or something. I can't remember what it is.
But he's very much those vibes.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, and he, I mean, the Serpents go out looking for him because they know that he knows about the game now. And they find him, and he's got one of the devil masks on him. Mm-hmm. I guess that's I don't know. It's like another gargoyle.
Sure. It seems, again, haven't watched Sabrina still. Mm-hmm. Seems kind of Sabrina-y.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Definitely. Yeah.
Where do you get custom masks made?
I don't know. Those are cool. Those are really intense. Yeah, let's look into that. Who in town has access to custom masks? And that's our guy. Jughead has the symbol on his hand. He's like, what the hell is this about? And
Jughead's like kind of owning him. Like he's like really like head serpent, like serpent kinging him.
Yeah, he's doing a good job for once.
Where he's really like, no, I'm going to fucking stab you. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, here's my switchblade.
Joaquin says it stands for sacrifice, uh-huh. Which we kind of, I mean, sure. So basically he's like,
sorry,
Archie's marked. Whoever
he's dead.
Yeah. And the warden wanted Archie dead.
Mm-hmm. And whoever's been sending the warden these game cards wanted Archie dead.
And Joaquin decides to be really vague all of a sudden, although not that vague, and be like, the man in black took a meeting with him. It's like, the black suit, it's like...
It's Hiram, right?
Yeah. I mean, definitely.
Like, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, who else could it be?
I mean, for sure.
I guess it could be someone else, but...
And then Jug goes and confronts him, and Hiram kind of laughs at him because he's being insane, but...
He does sound totally insane, but it also all sounds very plausible.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, like, this and it does seem like Hiram is like, I'm not some nerd playing a game. And we're like, no, you would be like you are like basically being a mob boss is like running a game, but it's like a different kind of game. So like you would be great at like being a game maker for like, or a game master, whatever the fuck it's called, for Griffins and Gargoyles.
Yeah, because he's used to like moving people around like pawns.
And like thinking 10 steps ahead or whatever. Yeah.
Nerd. No.
Yeah, nerd. Maybe he's like, he was a nerd before he like really got with the gang and he's just like, it's like nerd revenge.
Yeah, I think on some level, probably.
Because he would totally, I feel like he could have done ROTC. Maybe like he was in wrestling for sure.
I mean, we were shown him hanging out with Daryl Doily in the flashback.
And Tom Keller.
And Tom, who we know is an ROTC too. So maybe there is some connection there.
Yeah.
Did you notice the portrait?
I did.
Sherry
mentioned it. And then she said, like, and do you know where Veronica put hers? And we were like, no, I don't. But it made total sense that it was in the speakeasy.
But great portrait. Like, how much do I have to pay to get that one day when they're done filming?
Do you want the Mark and Smiley's one?
Oh, absolutely, I do.
I bet like a few grand, probably, like when they have the big auction, unless Mark Consuelos like takes it home with him.
Kelly has it hung up.
Honestly, she should. It's a great portrait. And like, it's like they use the exact same style. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
right.
The exact same quote unquote painter.
Yeah. So the props department went to the same person. Mm-hmm.
And I love that he makes a portrait of him. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like he doesn't do Hermione. Like, nope, he is like, let's just do a self-portrait.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Like, Sherry did not disappoint there. She's like, it's pretty funny what he puts up. Elsewhere in the episode, Betty, again, is off on her investigation.
Yeah. Our old pal Curdle Jr. is back.
Yeah. Who's a doctor. Curdle Jr.
Where she's like, no, he's a doctor. He won't mess it up.
I totally like him and respect him.
I know.
He's just always trying to make a buck.
He's just trying to make a buck. He's probably doing something awful with that money.
You know, my mom is adamant that her dad is the gargoyle. His dad is the Gargoyle King. My mom like Curdle called me Senior. About it the other week to be like, it's him. I'm like, I don't know, Mom.
Curdle Senior?
Yeah.
He's an older man. Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't seem like he could really be so spry that he's like in the house.
Yeah, jumping
with the
around.
Costume.
Yeah, I think she was just really taken aback by the mention that this was his son now and not, you know, that this is Junior. And they do always underscore the Junior in his name. So it's like.
That makes sense. I agree that there could be definitely something going on there. I wonder what happened. I wonder if there's something we don't know about that actor, Senior.
I wonder too. And that's kind of what I was like. Maybe it's just this.
Maybe it's just like that guy moved to Toronto and they're like, let's not pay him.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to fly him in.
The thing is, I don't want my mom to be right about it because then she'll shove it in my face. So anyway.
Oh.
We get along. Yeah, she goes to Curdle. He has the report on Daryl. He mentions that it wasn't a suicide because of Oleander.
Yeah, and that Kevin's dad then covered it up.
Yeah, because he was the sheriff. So she has her sit down with him. She's very blunt with all the parents, which I really like.
I know, like she's kind of like, she's very blunt, but she's also like has no tact.
Yeah,
like she's absolutely. Has the way she does it. And this is again, it's a TV show. Mm-hmm. It's not real. Blah blah blah. The way she does it is like would never make anyone be like, you got me, Betty. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't like you're like you have to build rapport and try to get them to like give it up.
But I like that she is like so over the parents' bullshit that she's like, no, just fucking tell me.
Like you grow Oleander. I know you do. Mm-hmm. Did you poison him? Mm-hmm. Like it's not like what how would you do it if you did it? You know what I mean? Right. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah. When she's talking to Tom, he gets called away because their sons are off and he gets nervous. But he mentions, obviously, the greenhouse makes that connection. So then Betty goes back to Penelope, played by the great Natalie Bolt, whose name we never forget. We always remember it right away. We love her. Mm-hmm. And this is such a brief soundbite, but I really liked it. So I do want to play it real quick.
Mrs. Blossom, please, Betty, call me Auntie. Auntie Blossom. Mr. Doily died from oleander poisoning. Do you have that flower in your greenhouse?
It's so gross.
Yeah, I just forget that like they are related and auntie.
Oh, right. I totally forgot. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just like a colloquial like a creepy, name. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like where it's like, oh, Uncle Steve or whatever, but he's not really your uncle. Like,
right.
That's gross.
She's just a weirdo.
Yeah, she's very weird. I mean, but that being said, like, we know that she's had, like, a very fucked up life from what we learned in the past.
Yeah, I feel sympathetic. And we just know she was, like, a cute little nerd with braces back in the day.
I know. I feel, you know, when we're talking about, like, the ice puncher, we're saying, like, what are favorite parts of the season? My least favorite parts are that I feel like Cheryl needs some meatier parts this season. She's had, like, some good, like, you know, shooting arrows.
Yeah.
Prancing around with Tony.
She has moments, but it's like what
doesn't have like a story
going on in her life right now. Yeah, we don't
just
know.
Her and Tony are like in like a love bowl, floating around.
Meanwhile, her mom gets all these fun little lines.
I know.
She basically is like, Betty, go back to your mom. She probably covered it up since she wrote about it in the paper.
Yeah, and she does go to her mom. What does her mom say? I can't remember.
Oh,
I think her mom maybe just goes like, Betty, why are you still looking into this?
Yeah, I'm making popcorn. Shut up. Because she is making popcorn.
Yeah, like Pop Secret. Like on like a, we used to make it like that when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. That's healthy popcorn.
Yeah, I guess. It's not as good. While that's happening, I mean, I'm kind of jumping ahead. But I mean, while that's happening, it's storming. We see a creepy silhouette in the window. There's a knock at the door. Mm-hmm. No one's there. Suddenly, Gargoyle King in full.
How did he get all those twigs into the house?
And he does another classic turn, which we love.
Yeah, where it's like he like comes up.
Yeah.
I'm into that costume. Mm. And I would like to know, maybe we should talk to someone about this, but like is he standing there on the ground? Do they have him in a pit? Like how big is that costume?
Yeah,
how
does we're still wondering if it's someone on stilts.
Oh, I need to examine this costume.
Oh, but like actually whoever's in it.
Yeah.
When they're filming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe how does it work? Is it a puppet? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, someone's obviously in it, but like,
sure.
Who made it? I have a lot of questions.
They're freaked.
Like a hero prop piece or whatever those are called.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, that's a big part
hero
of the season.
Costume,
Swamp Goth.
Swamp Goth.
They're freaked and they run upstairs.
classic horror movie thing, by the way, which is like, let's go upstairs instead of like going outside because someone's trying to get in the door. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out it was FP, and FP's like, Betty.
Yeah, he's being hella suspicious right now.
He's very, this is what I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of him in Scream a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we all know what happened in Scream.
Mm-hmm.
He was the villain.
He's the bad.
He's the bad guy. And I kind of feel like maybe he's the bad guy this time.
I have a hunch too. Yeah.
Was that your hunch?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they want you to think.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy it. Also, I enjoyed when he handcuffed Jughead to the fridge, which we didn't mention.
Wild reaction.
And then Jughead was like, you hungry?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like opening the fridge. I enjoyed it.
It was good.
I am a little over this point. I am a little over the boy.
Yeah. I think it's so funny. I also liked him earlier. It's in the soundbite we played where he's like, out of our gourds.
Yeah.
The way he talks is really cute. Yeah, I don't know. We should just kind of wrap up that part of the plot line. Like, I guess they're fine after FP shows up and somehow everyone's out of the house. And Alice later is like, we're not safe here. I'm going to the farm.
And I'm sending you to the Sisters of Quiet Mercy, where Alice they will keep you safe.
She knows how bad that place is.
Why don't you just make Betty go to the farm with her?
Uh-huh.
Or like, go to the Jughead. Like,
right.
She knows how bad that place is. Like, everyone knows how bad. Like, it's just like, again, like, it's kind of like, oh, we have these sets. Like, I might as well use it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Betty goes there and like, no, they're not going to keep her safe because there's gargoyle shit everywhere.
Yeah.
But then is it like, oh, you're just hallucinating, Betty.
That's what I wonder. Do we get another hallucination?
Or are they just going to say she is?
But a really more props I would like. All that artwork, all the paintings of the gargoyle. Okay. Those ones will sell for a little cheaper.
Yeah, those probably under 50 bucks a piece. Yeah.
In the other neck of the woods, like quite literally.
Yeah.
We talked about the mines.
They're dead.
The guys are dead. Oh, Joaquin's also dead, which is kind of
super sad. They just have him again before covered with a tarp.
Yeah.
In a recliner in the woods, probably like a wet recliner.
Yeah, that was really crazy.
Because they're like, they're messing up the camp. Like the Minetta like fucked up the camp.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you guys just like live in like tents. Wet furniture. Wet.
Yeah. Amazing Cole acting in that moment, I think.
Really good.
He's like really affected by it.
Yeah.
In a way that he like wants to not be at first because
because he was really like threatening it. Joaquin and saying like,
I'll definitely
fuck you up if you don't tell us what's going on. But then like it's super sad.
Mm-hmm.
And Joaquin is lovely.
Yeah.
Other than stabbing Archie.
R.I.P. to a real one.
I know. It is sad. That's one character where sometimes we like lose characters. I'm like, oh well, bye Midge.
Yeah,
you know. But that one, I'm kind of like, I did always like Joaquin.
Yeah, I was excited when we saw him. When I saw he's coming back.
I know.
Well, but yeah, back to the Archie stuff. I mean, in short,
him and Veronica break up.
Yeah.
He calls her from like a desolate payphone on a train station.
Mm-hmm.
It's like not really a station. And then him and Jug hit the rails.
They do. And I really like that song, the Paladin song.
Uh-huh.
Let's play the soundbite from the call real quick. You know what else was another instance of good acting? KJ's right there, I thought.
I thought so, too.
And I always forget, he is doing an American accent. And he is great.
The only thing I didn't like is after he hung up and he went, goodbye, Veronica.
To the
I was
hung
like,
up
okay.
Phone. I thought that too. I mean, that's not his fault. But
no, it's not. It was a little
classic.
Yeah.
To the hung up phone. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Phone's just like, bye.
But he does hang up on her, but like while she's getting upset, which is like pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, this is like Archie's like, well, I need to take this like rash thing and do it.
Yeah, he thinks he's being such a hero.
I don't disagree that he's like, he can't really come back to town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because you're exonerated doesn't mean that like it's over and you're like homecoming king.
Right, definitely. I mean, and Hiram does have it out for him no matter what. I just don't know what he thinks he's going to do.
No, nothing.
And
like the thing is, in the real world,
mm-hmm.
they go to the next town, they get on a bus, they end up in California. On Riverdale, they will end up in Seaside or whatever the fucking town is. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? They're going to go one town over.
Which we know has connections all the shit anyway. So.
Where it's like, guys.
It's not over. Yeah, go farther away.
You could
away.
Walk to see, like, mm-hmm. you don't need to hop the rails.
Yeah,
like,
where aren't
you in, like, Kansas or Canada?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You
I don't
be in
know.
California in 2 days, like.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe not from.
I don't know, Greyhound. I don't know.
Could be.
I mean, take a flight. He probably has a couple $100.
I don't know that he does.
He could get it. I don't know. Yeah, so he's on in Jughead. It's very, also, someone in the comments once pointed mm-hmm. out that the thing we didn't get, the thing with, like, the swimming and the leeches,
yeah.
was from Stand By Me,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And then, that, again, a movie I haven't seen because I spent my entire youth watching Nickelodeon.
Fair.
But then the scene at the end of this where they're, like, walking down mm-hmm. the train tracks, like, isn't that, like, kind of Stand By Me-ish, too?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Because they're, like, following the tracks in that. I mean, yeah. it's been a minute since I've seen that movie. I could be thinking of something else.
I just remember, like, images from it.
I could be thinking of, what's another movie with trains?
A lot.
There's so many.
Mm-hmm.
What's
I the... hope, like, Archie ends up tied to the tracks. Like, no!
Oh, it would be really cool.
Yeah.
And it'd be awesome if, like, Betty or Veronica gets to come save him. It's the inversion of the trope.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's the pretty damsel.
And there's, like, he's probably Hiram has, like, a mustache.
For... Yeah. That's the episode, though. We should take another break.
Let's. All right, we are back with the episode review. We need to think of a fun name for this section. I don't know. We'll think, make some suggestions, guys.
Yeah.
The SAT prep? I don't know.
It's just kind of our weird, like, we talked about the episode. What did we
not you like it?
Touch on? Yeah, I mean... It felt a little humorless to me.
Like I kind of liked it.
Yeah, it's good. It's compelling.
It wasn't silly.
Yeah.
Like it was silly, like in that like they're running up the stairs.
Yeah.
And the FP is like making silly faces and like, you know, and the some of the writing's funny, but like, yeah, it wasn't super campy.
Yeah, I guess that's like we just had two episodes in a row where one they pull off this insane heist and the other one that's like the throwback to 80s/90s. Like this felt, I guess if this is a return to like the basics of the story, it's not a bad one.
I'm really enjoying the season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, me too. I mean, the stories are interesting and everything is like tied up in this really weird, maybe convoluted way, but
mm-hmm.
everything, even the prison, comes back to this Gargoyle King thing.
Yeah, and I kind of like where we're going with the Gargoyle King. Like, it is honestly very mysterious. I'm not loving his, like, the introduction of this, like, 10 disciples thing or whatever, where mm-hmm. he has, like, his gang. It's kind of like, why does he have a gang?
Yeah, I hope it's not actually a gang.
Or, like, whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, okay. But I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Me too. It's compelling. It's mm-hmm. setting up some interesting things for next episode, which we can talk about in a sec.
Yeah. I mean, we already talked about how we think Skeet FP is maybe the Gargoyle King mm-hmm. or like maybe he's part of the gang, but let's step into the speculation booth and talk about what else we think is going on.
To the booth.
Why do you think the Gargoyle King is threatening the Coopers all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's like a fucking gravestone
yeah
in there.
Daryl's, and I wondered if that was like actually dug up. That is very frightening
and it's and very heavy
and illegal. Okay, this kind of gets into my comes back to the FP thing and kind of dovetails with my larger theory that I don't know if it's fully baked yet, but like, I think that FP is maybe acting in a way to scare the teens into, like, I think that on some level, he set up the gravestone to freak Betty out to get her to stop digging. And I think that, like, obviously he kind of acted in the same way by handcuffing Jughead as he's getting closer to it. I wouldn't be surprised if FP was the Gargoyle King for some reason, but maybe it's a thing where he like selflessly like took over the mantle to like avoid something else. It's like a sacrificial thing that he's doing himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, but it doesn't make sense then when you think about like who's trying to kill Archie.
And like, why is FP like killing people?
Well, that's what I'm wondering about. Like, maybe he's not.
Maybe he knows who is. Maybe it's Jughead's mom.
It could be.
We saw on Instagram, yeah. maybe we were going to talk about this later, but we saw on Instagram that she's like meeting with the writers and stuff mm-hmm. like Janie Gershon. So like she's got to be taping up soon.
I have to interject with a like, I heard that she was at the writer's room, she told them that she can like dance with snakes if they need her to.
Whoa.
So I don't know. Just be on the lookout for that.
Oh, great.
Regina Gershon serpent dance. Anyway.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's, now I'm, when you're talking about this, all I'm thinking about, by the way, is how hard it would be to get fucking like a 500-pound headstone into someone's bedroom.
It'd be really difficult, yeah. Especially because like they were like downstairs. A winch. Yeah. So it had to have gone up through the window.
I think.
I just think, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's something where it's like, okay, maybe now the Gargoyle King all of a sudden wants vengeance for one of his like acolytes, Daryl, dying. And these parents all covered it up. So that's why he's after them. Mm-hmm. But it just seems to me like this is more of like a scare tactic. Like someone is trying to keep Betty from learning more than she already has. Mm-hmm.
Does Dilton have a mom?
I would hope so. I think.
Is she around?
I don't know. That poor woman. I mean, maybe. Maybe she's a nut. I don't know.
Kind of seems like she would be like kind of school marmish. Do you know what I mean? Just like.
Yeah.
Very put upon or something. I don't know how to explain that, but like, yeah, he was having an affair and, you know,
okay,
my weird son. Yeah. Like she's like a prepper.
I don't, this is all to say, like, I just don't, kind of like last season when there was the thought that maybe Alice was like involved with the Black Hood. Like, I don't see that. I can't see the show like turning one of the parents that we actually are supposed to like into, that's like a fully fledged character, into the villain without giving them a real motive for it. Like, I think that if FP is behind this in some way, he's like doing it to protect his kids.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it does seem like he's like, don't, you know, he's been very like, Jughead, don't get involved in this.
Yeah, I agree. It makes no sense for him to be like purely evil for no reason.
Right. Maybe he's trying, maybe the game came back up and he's taking over this Gargoyle King mantle because he doesn't want any more people to die, but he's, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But like, what about like Penelope and Keller? Do you think they're possibles or they're telling the truth?
I mean, there is a ROTC connection.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Again, like, I think, you know, Keller was one of the suspects for the Black Hood last year too. And like, he seems like a good dude though. I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, I really felt like in this episode, like I could see, and I know they're absolutely not related, like, Tom and Kevin being like father and son. Like I was like, I see them being related here.
Yeah.
Even though I know they're 100% not.
They're not at all in real life, but it is kind of sweet. Good casting there.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked, it's been a minute, but I like when they have their father son scenes.
I know.
I always like the dad supporting his.
And then I remember he's like ripped as fuck.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And Kevin's pretty bulky too. He's pretty muscular. It runs.
It's all that ROTC and that wrestling. Sure, yeah. Is Mineta in prison? You have written down here. I guess.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. That just seemed to be tossed off with a line from Veronica, but it's like, okay, he's not a threat anymore then?
So is he in jail just for the bribery, or is he in jail for murder?
Oh.
Right? Like, I don't know.
Well,
I
people mean, don't know. Oh, God. But people do know that those kids have been murdered.
Yeah, Keller called it in.
You're right. That's pretty intense.
I can't imagine he like used his like cop gun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably just for bribery. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, again, we didn't really see what happened, and there's also gargoyle markings everywhere.
I would assume also if he's in jail, he's going to die.
Yeah.
Like, because there's no chance that he would like roll.
Mm-hmm.
But can't leave that loose end tied up.
How much power does Hiram have in jail?
A lot.
Yeah. I don't know.
I would imagine he would have a lot. And then you also wrote down, is Evelyn causing the seizures?
Yes, which we touched on.
I don't know how someone would cause a seizure.
Me neither.
Especially one that, like, would just do no damage.
But why are these happening, I mean? Then? Oh, yeah, totally.
Where it was like, yeah, I can, like, just, like, make them, like, a little messed up for five minutes.
I mean, there's something
to it. Yeah, why are
they
happening? It's crazy.
Specifically with Josie and Ethel and at some level Betty at the beginning, there's, like, these are people under in high stress situations. Like Ethel and Josie are both getting grilled when they end up having a seizure and passing out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some like chemical body thing going on right then, maybe.
Well, Betty is like seeing her crazy like nephews and niece.
Yeah.
Sacrifice.
I forgot about the flying babies.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what a good time.
And you also wrote, why is Dr. Curdle Jr. the best?
I don't know. Any theories? I don't know. He's just great. He's a cool guy.
What else has that actor done? We should look.
I don't know. I just really like him. I just really love that he's like so down to get paid under the table.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I respect it.
I hope he's like doing something silly. Like, they're like, what are you doing with all this money? He's like, restoring a boat. Do you know what I mean? Like, so instead of like dog fighting, or which is maybe probably he's what it is.
Buying more
dark webs.
Dark.
Shit.
Well, I was going to say dark fabrics for his Gargoyle King costume, for his father's Gargoyle King costume.
Why wouldn't your mom think it's him, like the junior?
I don't know. Because the dad is suddenly like not around. He's busy in the woods.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Let's get into the name game. So next week, the episode's called The Man in Black.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah, so many things. Mm-hmm. I mean, also made me think of what Joaquin refers to Hiram as, basically. Mm-hmm.
Joaquin Phoenix played Johnny Cash, the man in black.
So many connections. this is the title of a movie, and the movie's plot is like this. It's like an old British thriller where this like I've never seen it. So the descriptions I've read of it, I think, are giving away the twist where it's like there's this.
It's from 1949. So yeah, like so if you, it's this like a 70-year spoiler.
This man that knows yoga uses his yoga techniques to pretend to be dead so that he can like pretty much prove that his second wife is insane and trying to like steal his fortunes, something along those lines. It's kind of nuts, but basically it's called The Man in Black because it's based off of a story from this British radio serial where it's all narrated by this character, The Man in Black, which is then what ties into next week's episode, I think. Because Roberto has teased that this is the one where we get three stories again.
Great.
So I think it's just called The Man in Black in the same way that the other one is called Tales from the Dark Side, where it's like kind of supposed to set up this like small, shorter, serialized story sort of thing.
So we haven't seen, as always, we talk about how, you know, we saw a screener for the app, so we haven't seen the promo for the next app. So I'm curious as to who the three stories will be about, but like the people who are listening to this podcast probably know the answer to that question.
So. Well, and I mentioned off pod to you. There was this weird off pod.
Oh yeah, tell me.
The trailer had leaked. Like it went up on the Riverdale account last week on the night before Thanksgiving because it was probably set up to go up every week or something like that.
Yeah, so tell me. So this is the trailer. Have you seen it?
Yes, I've seen it. And it doesn't show you a ton, but it very clearly looks, it's like you get words and it says buy the farm or something. Mm-hmm. And it shows Archie and Jughead at the farm, and he gets straddled by Riley Keough.
Wait, so they go to the, like, capital TF, capital F farm? Or
no,
just, like,
no, no.
A farm?
I think they just find a farm.
Okay, yay.
Because they're off the grid. Mm-hmm. So there's that story. One is called, like, Win the Table, and you see Veronica gambling in her speakeasy. And I forget what the last one is, but it's very clearly, like, Betty at the Sisters of Quiet Mercy trying to, like, figure shit out. And Ethel's there, too, so.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So good. Those are our three stories, I think.
Okay, good. I like it.
I mean,
it's not like ancillary characters this year.
Yeah, which, I mean, I'm kind of bummed about. Like, I wanted a showcase for Kevin or, you know, anybody else, but like,
maybe
it should be interesting.
Time. Yeah.
So that's what we can expect.
We've got some big bad fan theories this week. Bucky C, one of our most consistent theorists, says, I think we're going to discover some inconsistencies with Alice's flashback story. I agree. I think she was hiding some things from Betty, maybe protecting FP. Maybe FP hid the body. It's kind of his hobby. I feel like FP and Alice, like, don't talk about shit at all.
Yeah.
Like Jughead and Betty, honestly, where it's like, you saw that too?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you guys have had 30 years and you haven't talked about this.
Yeah.
20 years.
Definitely. They haven't brought it up at all. And I mean, Bucky C, at least in terms of this episode, is right that, like, yeah, Alice has just got one side of the story, and she's, like, looking out for her own interest, too. So she's not telling us everything. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know. I think it's going to be a little bit until we see Alice again, especially because Betty's away at the Sisters of Quiet Mercy. Like, we're probably not going to the farm anytime soon.
I like this next theory. It's from, I don't know, is that Ms. or MLZ?
MLZKB3?
MLZKB3. Principal Featherhead was playing the game. The Ascension party that night was for him. He was meant to drink from the cup and ascend. Members of the town have been playing the game in secret for years. Because this is actually kind of something they talk about in the episode, where they're like, that cup, like, no one was, like, that cup was supposed to be dumped out. Like,
yeah.
How would he have found it? Why would he have drank it? Yeah, I kind of like it.
I like it too. I mean, remember they found the game guidebook in a teacher's desk as like a confiscated thing. So maybe they were all just playing it at the school, the teachers, and the kids just happened upon it. Pretty interesting. And the last one I included here is from Tracy _ Boom.
Bame.
Bame.
There was a kid in my high school that had that last name. Oh, Bame. It was Bame. I don't know. Maybe she says it differently.
Mass hysteria caused by the gang's dive in the Sweetwater swimming hole post-Labor Day. Dark baptism a la Sabrina? Parents said it too. Think about gargoyles. They sit out in the rain. Archie fought in a pool. Emerged from a pipe. Bunker is a drainpipe-esque shape.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could just be that Vancouver is wet all the time, but maybe there's like something in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Like there actually is something in the water.
Again, that sign was such a weird detail that we focused on. And it makes me think of the like the Curdle Jr. distinction. It's like, why are we getting these little details? And Riverdale's a show where it's like, we just started like trained to watch for every little thing and be like, that could be a clue, even if it's not. But I like that this theory really spins off from there and tries to explain like the what is infecting people thing.
And I frankly, I like that someone is like really thinking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tracy Bam's like, here's the deal.
Thank you for
doing that. It's the water. Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about some more theories and fan moments.
Absolutely.
And now we turn to the latest edition of The Blue and Gold, where we talk about our favorite Riverdale adjacent moments every week from the cast, the fans, and beyond. Cameron, what is yours?
This is from a couple weeks ago, but I felt it had to be discussed on the pod. I guess we just missed it in the lead up to the holiday and stuff. We had a busy couple of weeks, but it was the news that Kelly Ripa is going to be on the show.
I know.
How'd they get her? I don't know. Interesting. I don't know. I love that so much. I always think of her when she was on Broad City and they go to her apartment.
Yes.
And she's like talking about their house and she's like, we're a Shape Ups family.
She was great.
Mm-hmm, she was so good. So I'm excited to see her on this too. And I'm excited just for her to be like, we're doing this show together as a family.
I mean, she was on soaps for years. Like she has acting experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's great. The news item said that Ripa will guest star as Mrs. Mulray, a woman the CW describes as confident and tough. As Hiram's supposed mistress, Mrs. Mulray is a beautiful, icy femme fatale who finds herself embroiled in a conspiracy much bigger than she initially thought.
Did you read that a lot of fans are upset that it revealed what her role would be? Mm-hmm. Like that they were like, oh, now Hiram's having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
Well, it is. I mean, that's one thing for sure. The other thing is, like, I mean, I notice, and we obviously stay caught up, but if you're not caught up with the show, like, the actual Riverdale account is tweeting out, like, essentially spoilers immediately after it airs. So I can't imagine being that careful about and precious about being spoiled with this show and not being able to stay caught up.
It's also like, okay, so we know he had a mistress. Like, is that surprising in any way?
I mean... Also, alleged mistress, supposed mistress, so maybe not.
mine, I have two. One, there was a very funny video that Lily posted. I don't know if it was on stories. It might have been, so people might not have seen it. But basically, first of all, Cole went to her family's Thanksgiving, very which cute. I was like, hey. And but then they were, like, flying back, and she, like, kept kind of messing with him. Like, she was, like, oh, like touch his hand, like, a weird, like, spidery way and, like, creep him out. I liked it.
Yeah.
It's very, it's like a dumb, fun couples thing.
But a lot of people were, like, sending us those photos over Thanksgiving. Like, look, they're home together. And it was really cute.
They've been together for a while. I was thinking, I was when I was awake at, like, 3 a.m. watching this up, I was like, wow, they've been together for, like, probably, like, almost 2 years.
Yeah, I guess. And
I mean, I guess it depends, like, when they, like, officially, quote unquote, started dating.
Right, we don't know because they were so coy at first.
Yeah. I guess my kind of thing, and this is sort of, we should talk about this as well, was that we put out recently two different calls last podcast. One was for people to get Roberto to listen to the podcast. And that panned out with one of the writers saying that we're definitely the smartest Riverdale podcast out there, which, like, honestly, I wanted to cry.
In my heart, pitter-patter.
I know. I was like, thank you. We try really hard.
Yeah, we did this for you. It's all for you. We're like crazy.
We get absolutely nothing from this. and so I thought that was really nice.
That's very sweet. Yes.
And I really liked it. And that.
We got a lot of good reviews last week, too. So thank you, everyone. That's been very, very nice for reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
And the second thing we asked for, in a not to move along because I'm going to cry, but was for people to explain kind of how D&D works and if, like, this Griffins and Gargoyles thing makes any sense, like, yeah. in that world.
Yeah.
And so we did get some people to reach out and, like, yeah. DM'd us and said, like, yeah, I play D&D. Like, let me explain some shit to you.
Amazing. Like, and they did an amazing job of it, too. Like, all of them were like, I could go on, but I don't want to, like, overload you, but here's the basics. And, like, they nailed it. I was really, like, thrilled to learn about all this.
So tell me what you learned, Cam.
Yeah. I mean, as we kind of, like, guessed about the other episode, everyone was kind of saying that, like, the storyline, the G&G storyline is pretty heavily influenced by, like, the moral panic around Dungeons and Dragons in the 80s, too, mm-hmm. whenever it first came out. So I thought that was interesting. And they're also, like, most of them pointed out that as we see it in the show, not only are we seeing what is, like, Dungeons and Dragons. Like
on board, or yeah. not even on board, because there is no board.
Right. But especially as we're seeing people, like, dress up and thinking the game, like, takes place in the real world. That feels a lot more like live action role play. There's, like, some LARP elements here, mm-hmm. Which they wanted to point out because it's not, like, I mean, I think the big thing is, like, before we get into the mechanics of the game, like, you can, Dungeons and Dragons is imagination based. So yes. you can get as into it as you want to. Mm-hmm. I actually, when I was a kid, I used to sit around with my friends and play the Oregon Trail game. Mm-hmm. And we would, like, pretend we were the characters. So, same cool. thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Anyway.
Just like, so you play it on the computer and then you'd be like, oh no, I'm dead.
Yeah. I feel like we would have like snacks too. And we'd be like, oh, we can't eat that because we have to kill.
Oh my God. It's so cute, Cameron.
Yep. It was real. We did.
I was real into like the Carmen San Diego game, but like the one where you had to like have the Atlas and like search for and like play it on the computer.
That game's amazing. Those games mm-hmm. are so good.
It's not quite as hard now with the internet.
But the mechanics of this, I wanted to get into, and shout out to Kat the Crusher and Chevin Essence, one of the better handles I've ever heard of for some of the info, but I specifically wanted to read from what Jensen Worley sent to us, because it got really into the specifics of like the gameplay. And they said, all you really need to play is dice, a character sheet with your stats, and people willing to sound very silly saying things like, I roll for a perception check. And they said, many people who play will use pre-written guides called campaigns in Dungeons and Dragons, not quests, but Dungeon
it's
Masters.
It's probably trademarked.
Oh, definitely. Dungeon Masters, also trademarked, who have been playing a long time, and groups who have been together a while might write their own campaign, often called a homebrew. This part is what we saw Jughead doing in the last episode. Other things that are in line with D&D are the very silly character class names, like paladins, clerics, rogues, as is the actual gameplay of rolling dice to do things. In Dungeons and Dragons, the name of the game is Roll a Dice. If it is a high number, you can do the thing you want to do. If it's a low number, you fail. It's all trying to do things and the consequences of doing that thing. So that kind of makes some sense to me.
So like, I want to cast a spell, so I roll the dice. If I get a, 20-sided die, 12-sided die?
Yeah, 20, I think so.
Right? Oh. So if I get a 17 or whatever,
yeah,
then I get to do it.
Then you can do your spell, mm-hmm. yeah. And it follows these stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense.
Totally.
It makes sense. And now I definitely get the distinction of like what the show is like making a little bit more fantastical.
Mm-hmm.
And Jughead screaming at the top of his lungs. It's like, yeah, he kind of got a little too into the game, but maybe people do that when they're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
He does have
too.
A lot of imagination.
Of course. He's that brain of his always ticking.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a lot of sense now. It makes more sense to me at least.
It definitely makes like to think about it, to like step back. And think about it and be like, okay, so like there is the dice based play and then they take it into like a LARP world and here's what they're actually doing yeah. and like the parallels they're drawing. I am interested in knowing, hey, maybe the writers that listen to this podcast and let us know how many people in the writer's room actually played Dungeons mm-hmm, and Dragons mm-hmm. growing up and like who's like the D&D researcher on staff.
Yeah.
Not that this is D&D because it's not.
Right. But they
but do you know what I mean? Like you get like the concept at least. Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of pre-season them all sitting, like having a writer's retreat together and they're just playing the game one night.
Mm-hmm.
They probably got really into it.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And hence the season 3 storyline was born.
Mm-hmm.
A little alcohol
like,
involved, too.
What if?
Yeah, I know. So thanks for the tips. That was really
That's
helpful.
Super great. And everyone's I really appreciate
amazing.
It.
Amazing. I love everyone. Not everyone, but our
Donald
listeners.
Donald Trump?
No, just our listeners. I wouldn't even, if he's listening, turn this off. We don't need you.
Yeah, this podcast is not for you, Preston.
Sorry. Wow, we're getting so political. That's probably it for the week, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineer is Stephen Holliger. Our producer is Leah Steltenpole, and our creative director is Leo Garcia. The show is hosted by me, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, tell your friends, and they can find us basically everywhere you can find podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DialMForMabel. And again, I think it's the best Twitter around. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you guys soon for Riverdale's next trilogy of terror, The Man in Black.
Bye-bye, Bulldogs.